Well, tonight I count it a privilege to be with you, and we have heard much about you as a church through my father-in-law and mother-in-law over the years as they've got to know you, and in a sense we've got to know you as well, and then of course having Jonathan and Jeremy Newhouse spend some time with us and getting to know you as a church as well during their stay with us. So I count it a privilege tonight to be with you. And unfortunately, this is all you're going to get is me. My wife and my family are still in South Africa due to my wife's health as far as blood clot. She's on blood thinners. The doctor advised that she not travel long distances. So she's taking care of her mother. And that is also part of the reason I didn't come with the whole family is that Wyla, we just don't feel it's the time for us to be moving her from one country to another country where she's happy where she is. She's familiar with all the people around there. In fact, the whole community know who she is, and she walks around, and people, if she gets a little bit lost, they all bring her back home. And so she really has freedom of the community where we live in South Africa, and people are just looking after her. So we are so grateful to the Lord for his goodness to us and through the years. And the song that we just sang is "Great is thy faithfulness," and because of God's faithfulness, so can we be faithful, because our faithfulness is going to be based on a God that is faithful, because we have no examples in the world of anybody who's faithful. Everybody has some problem somewhere, something that falls apart, but we have a God who is faithful. So we have to serve him as he has shown himself so many times faithful. I'd like this evening, we're going to go through a number of different texts, and we're going to be looking at a number of different things, and I'm going to really take you back to the basics. We're not going to get into anything in a sense new, and really, you know, it's just taking you back to things that maybe as you go along in life you've forgotten, or not necessarily forgotten, but you just don't think of them. You know, it's just you go about your everyday life and they are not important. But they are, but because life is so busy and things are happening, we don't pay as much attention as we ought to these major things. I'd like us to, let's start this evening as we start the sermon and turn in our Bibles to the New Testament, and we're going to be looking at kind of a verse that's going to jump us into our message, and that is Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. One of the bad things of not having my wife with me is that she can help with translating. So sometimes we, as you can hear, we talk Southern English. It's South African English. Yeah. So the British say we don't know how to talk, and then probably the Americans feel that way too. So so if you need a translation, then I'll put it in another way. We can speak Lingala if you want, and but then we are very limited there. Or we can speak Afrikaans, and then we might need a translator there. And then also, one of the bad things about not having my wife with, she would blow me kisses when I'm preaching, okay? And when she blows the kiss, and that's not because she loves me, but really what it's saying is keep it short. Okay, keep it short, you know. She says, just, you've gone past, you know. Stop, you've gone to the fourth point. You shouldn't go to the fourth point, you know. Just keep it short, stupid, I guess, would be really what it is. I love my wife and I love my children, and I'm looking forward to showing you a picture of my family. God has blessed me with 6 children. Of course, the twins came, and, you know, the Lord just decided to give us children 2 by 2, so we just love our children, and we are looking forward to, not just out of keeping a heritage, but praying that, Lord, that you will abide with us and that you will continue this heritage through our children, whether in Africa, whether any part of the world, back in the United States, wherever you lead them, that they will be faithfully serving you, and that we can continue this heritage of a family that has been serving the Lord for many, many, many years. Pastor Mark Grings, as I know him, even though he's my father-in-law, he led me to the Lord. The 29th of September 1980, I was in his living room, and I received Christ as my personal Savior. During the time that he was dealing with me in the back of his home, as where they had started the church, and everybody was kind of frantically, what's happened to the preacher? Where is he? You know, it's time for him to preach. And they kept singing and kept singing, and eventually they sent somebody out, you know, what's wrong? You know, has he skipped the country or something? And they found out that he was dealing with my father and myself. My mother and my elder brother and two sisters received Christ as personal Savior that morning in the morning service. My dad and I, we decided that we were going to go fishing in the morning service. We didn't want anything to do with church. We weren't church-going people. And of course, now coming back in the evening, and my mother just sharing, you know, she just received Christ, and she was just excited about her newfound faith in Christ. She was sharing it with my father. And she says, you know what, this American man invited us for tea. And let's, you know, can we go? Let's go. And my father agreed. And I had no excuse now not to go to church. And it was just of the Lord, because that evening I received Christ as my personal Savior. And I just thank the Lord for a man that God sent from the United States, went to Congo. God closed the door for a while in Congo. He came down to South Africa, wanted to work in another community. God closed that door and opened up the door in the community where we were living. Yeah, they tried to reach out to the adults. They spent many months trying to reach families and adults, and they didn't get any success until they started reaching out to the children, and spent many years just reaching out to the children until they got one couple out of all this, and that's how the church began to grow. So I'm thankful to missionaries, and now in turn I am able to serve the Lord, and I trust that I will, as my father-in-law was faithful, as the pastor mentioned, finishing strong. I once read a book many years ago, and I think that was the title, Finishing Strong. Are we all going to finish strong in following the Lord and being faithful to the Lord? And I trust that we will. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, and we're going to just look at one verse, and I want to look at the first part of that verse, that it might just springboard us into what we're going to look at. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, and it reads as follows: For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also among your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. And I just want to look at that first phrase. The first phrase, again, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless this evening this message, and that as I speak, that and give me the words and give me what is necessary for every person this evening here, that it may challenge them, it will move them, it will cause them to draw so much more closer to you and to be open to the changing of your word in their lives. And I pray that we truly can say as one with this text that we've just read, that truly we live and we move and our being is in you. And help us to remember just a few things about yourself that can help us to bring things back into focus that are out of focus in our lives. Lord, we get so busy with our day-to-day lives. We get so busy with our businesses and with our jobs and schooling and friends and all that the world offers us, TV and internet and chats and different things, and spending hours on email and different things, and we get out of focus and we forget all about you. Lord, help us to refocus tonight, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. A number of things happened when my father-in-law passed away. We were very comfortable serving the Lord in the Democratic Republic of Congo. My wife and I have been in the Congo for the past 15 years, and we have started off in the interior for about 2 years and then moved to the capital of Kinshasa, which I'll be showing you, and we were just really comfortable. We were getting into the language, we were becoming fluent in it, and we didn't want to move, we didn't want to go anywhere. And then Esther got word that her father was ill. In fact, we didn't get direct word from Esther's father or her mother that her father was ill. And that just goes to show what type of man he was, in the sense that he was ill. He had a heart attack. He went into hospital. They performed the procedures that needed to be. And we didn't know a thing. You know what his reasoning was? He did not want to bring us off the mission field. Isn't that amazing? You know, for us at first, we were so, you know, we were frustrated as his children. We were frustrated. We want to know. We want to come down. We want to help. We want to be there and help you and assist you through this. But no, even in while he was in hospital and taking treatment, he was keeping everything kind of low key. You know, this is just going to pass. This is going to, you know, things are going to go smoothly and don't have to worry. Because his whole thinking about this was he did not want us to leave the mission field of Congo. But of course, we got we realized that it was a lot more serious than that, and that the Lord had something in this, and we needed to follow as children also the Lord's leading in our lives. And as we came down to South Africa, my wife before me and came. In fact, she saw him that the very night that she landed, and then the next day she was put in hospital herself because of the deep vein thrombosis. And she spent about a week in hospital, and they were texting each other and sending, what do they call these, video messages back and forth on the cell phones from one hospital to the other hospital. And then my wife was allowed to come out, and she went and visited her father. And so she is thankful that she spent that time, because once they induced him into a coma, that was the last time that we had any verbal communications or contact with him other than their visits where he was just in that coma. So my wife is thankful that she had this opportunity. But you know, he was an example of a man that showed that Christ was living in him. And that whatever he did, whatever his movement was as far as a missionary, as a husband, as a father, Christ came through that life. And his whole being was nothing else but Jesus Christ. And I wonder tonight, how about your life? Whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever plans you have, can you identify to this verse and say, yes, I want to be an example that, yes, for in him I live. And it is because of what Christ has done on the cross that I do live. And my life is not my own. It is what God has given to me through Jesus Christ. And my moving, my whole being is because of Christ. If it were not for Christ, I don't know where I would be tonight. I probably may not be around. I probably would have killed myself in a racing car. My whole ambition in life was to be a Formula One racing car driver. And for those of you that remember Jody Scheckter's and those, that kind of dates me how far back it is. And those were kind of my heroes. Those were the people that I wanted that I looked up to and who I wanted to be in my life. And just make money and become famous. You know, those are all the things that we look for. We're looking for significance. And without Christ, we have none of that until we receive Christ as our personal Savior. And all these things begin to fall into place. And our significance is not found in ourselves, but it's found in Christ. And I would like to just bring you back to just a few basic things. And then I want to challenge you with the knowledge that you already have. This is just going to be, as it were, shaking the bag a little and getting your thought, your mind thinking again. And I'd like to give you, first of all, four things. I'd like us to start now, and we go back to the book of John. John chapter 1 and verse 3, The pastor didn't give me an ending time. Now, in Congo, in Africa, we have, let me put it this way. America, you have watches. And in Congo, we have time. Okay? Figure that one out. So, in other words, so pastor, what time do I have on the watch? Otherwise, we could go until, in Congo, our morning services are average, on average, 3 hours long. So I won't keep you that long. Okay, John chapter 1 and verse 3, okay, is a verse that challenges us. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The first thing that I want to stir your mind about and look just back a little bit is that God is creator. And all things were made by him. So when you, before you get too comfortable in your life and in your lifestyle and what you want to do, is reflect back on that God is creator. And all that you have is not because of what you have made, but because of he is creator. The second thing that I'd like to stir your memory on, because these are basic things that we are dealing. This is not what they call it, rocket science. I mean, this is comes from God's word. This is what we've heard in our Sunday school. This is what we've heard in our Bible studies. This is what we've heard from the preaching of God's word from the pulpit, that God is creator. But you know what? We go about life forgetting that he is creator. And that he created this world and he created us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. Turn with me again to this portion of God's word. And we're going to see another characteristic of God. Who he is, what he does. And in chapter 1 and verse 17, it says to us, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So the second thing that we would, what I want to stir your minds and your heart is that God controls everything. Don't we like to schedule and control our lives? We do it all the time. We've got schedules. We've got planners. We've got, you know, we've got, you know, you've got the to-do list, and you've got your, everything is just scheduled and planned, and we want to be in control. And then we forget the fact is that everything consists because of God. The heavens and the earth, if he were to just one day decide that he is going to rest from keeping things, controlling and things consisting in him, can you imagine what it would be like and what our lives would be like? And so we have plans and we plan things and we do things as missionaries, and God puts things in our lives and it throws us off, and we get out of balance, and we kind of topple over a little bit, and we get back up and say, whoa, what happened? And we realize that God is still in control. All things consist because of God. So everything in your life, God controls. The third thing is, turn with me now to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 10. It says to us, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The third thing that I'd like to stir your heart and your memory is that God is constantly wanting to communicate to us. He reveals on a daily basis what he wants us to know through his word. And as we are faithfully found in God's word, he wants to communicate. He wants to show himself to us, and he has chosen today his word to do that. You know, the Bible, I don't know. I've never done a study how many languages the Bible is written in. Now, I know that it's written in many of the languages in Congo. And isn't it wonderful that you can be in the middle of the jungle in a mud and stick house, and you can open up God's word, and the person can come to know Christ the Savior just the same as someone in downtown Minneapolis opens his Bible and receives the same Christ the same way. because God chose to communicate with you and I. And he wants to communicate to you this evening in your life. Slow your life down. And that's what we need to do. We get so busy in our lives that we forget that God wants to still reveal himself. You know what I think many Christians, they have the idea of churches like fast food. You know, you just got to go to church, get it quickly, and get down to school and business and work and things like that. Sunday comes again, you know. Soon, Pastor, you'll probably put up here, you know, drive-through, you know, kind of drive-through church, you know, just get whatever you needed. And that's the mentality. And then some Christians, they think that you need to go to like Costco or something. I'm learning all these different stores, you know, where you can buy things in bulk, I think, you know. And they figure that if I miss a few Sundays, well, you know, at the end of the month, I can bulk, you know, get what I need for my Christian life. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, a relationship doesn't work that way. God doesn't reveal himself in bulk food, in bulk things. He reveals himself on a daily basis, constantly, you and I, in God's word, found faithfully, listening to God's word. The fourth thing that I'd like us to look at is 1 Peter. Turn with me again to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Oh, somebody took it out of my Bible. Oh, there it is. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says to us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The fourth thing is that God is a caretaker. God is a caretaker. God cares for you. Do we take time to stop and think about that and consider how he has in our lives taken care of us? We complain so much. We worry so much. We spend so much of our time fretting and eating our nails and worrying about what we're going to do. I think this is probably the hardest time throughout the whole world. Everybody's watching the stock market. How many of you have watched the TV or the stock markets at least 4 or 5 times this week, past week? Okay, I won't go any further. Quite a lot of people. But what is your reaction? What is your reaction? God will take care of me. You know, I think we all worry. We look at it and we worry and we say, you know, things can be, I could lose my job. I could lose some salary. Things could happen. But you know what? God still cares for you. And that's where he wants you to be, is in the knowledge of knowing that he will care for you. Now, knowing these four things, and there's many more things that we can look at. These are just four. There are literally probably thousands, and we will spend days and months and years just knowing what God does just by his names, which we're going to look at just a few of them. Now, with this knowledge, unfortunately, I have put you in a predicament. Is because now you have to be a good steward of this knowledge. So as we, and that's a fact of when your pastor comes or whoever's preaching and you hear from God's word, they will continually be putting you in the predicament of, now what am I going to do? How am I going to be a good steward of what I've just learned about God? And how am I going to apply it to my life? And real quickly, you see, God wants to reveal himself to us, and he shows us through the Bible in ways that we can relate to that, because we know that God is a spirit, and he doesn't have a body like we have a body, and so it would be difficult probably for us to understand or him revealing himself to us through the word or speaking to us. So a God who knows us because he created us, he uses terms, and like I'm going to quickly give them just, and you can read them at home. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 30 refers to the face of God. And you know what I think that is? That is referring to being in the presence of God. Because when we talk about, we say, you know, I sat down with him face to face. You know, when you talk about that. We, you know, we've sat down, we spoke things out face to face. What are you talking about? You were in the presence with that person that maybe you were dealing with a problem or dealing with something. Well, you know what? God wants to have a personal relationship with you that is personal and upfront, face to face. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1, it refers to his hand and his ear. And again, and this is that God is directly engaging with you and I. You see, this is not just a religious thing. Do this, do that, and, you know, perform this, you know, do a little bit of a twirl, and then you are okay and go home. This is a relationship, and God wants to engage in your life. Not only on Sunday, but as they say a lot of times, 24/7. Do you use that term? The teens like to use that in South Africa. 24/7. They, our teens, and I'm sure you, your teens have that. They have this. They call it. I forget now the term, but it's a chat. They use the cell phones and they chatting back and forth. You know, and it saves on making calls. And they do this constantly. You'll see these teens walking around. They've got down to art where they're using one finger and they're walking and they're talking to somebody and they're chatting with another person in this. And I almost think we need to write a book on ethics, you know. You know, and we've actually told some of our teens, you know, they come to our house and we're sitting down and there they are. And I say, yeah, excuse me, can you put that away because we want to talk? And so, yeah, we are with our lives, you know. With our programs, our plans, our cell phones, our homes, our families and different things. And here we are. And God wants to communicate. He wants to engage in our lives. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 16, we see the arm of God, the protection. Have you ever, if somebody comes and wants to hit you, what is your reaction? You put up your arm. You want to protect yourself. And you know, Satan's going to come with so many different things. But you know, we can rest assured that God is going to put up his arm. He's going to put up his arm and he's there to protect us. The next thing is Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8. It talks about the eyes and the ears again. And of course, I think of this as being oversight and caring for us. Caring for the righteous. God wants to, he wants to communicate to us then and showing that he is overseeing our lives. And he cares for the righteous. You know, I relate to a story to you in Congo. People struggle with drink. You know, I think it's probably not just in Congo. It's a worldwide, where there's poverty, the taverns are full. We refer to taverns as bars or pubs. Okay, they seem to make a lot more money in those type of economic situations where people can't afford to put food on the table, but they can afford to sit down and have a drink with someone else and maybe drink away their month's salary or the week's salary. And a number of church folk also struggled with these areas, and they would be constantly struggling. And you hear about different people and hear about members of your church that are found wandering all drunk and doing crazy things and kind of embarrassment, you know, that I've got to kind of, you know, be I'm associated with that person. And one day, you know, I thought, you know, the problem here is that we always think that God only sees us when we come to church. Do you have that mentality? I hope not. But, you know, most people do. They think that the only time that God can see you is when you come to his house. But you know what? This verse here says that his eyes and his ears, he's there listening, he's there watching. And I challenged people. I said, you know what? What will cure you of your drinking problem as a Christian is you just bring your beer and drink it with us in church. I mean, just come to church, and when the sermon gets a little bit long and you get a little bit thirsty, pull it out from underneath the pew and take a drink. And I say, you can't do that. Well, you know what? You can't do it in your own home because God sees. God sees. And that, you know, I bring drinking as one of the things, but there are many, many, many other vices, many other things that have our young people, our men, our women captive, our Christians. God sees, and he wants you to know that he cares. And he cares for the righteous. Psalms 32 and verse 8, again the eyes and the eyes of guidance. God wants to guide you. We make plans, and you know what? 100% every time, God is going to change them. God is going to change them. You know what we need to do? We need to follow. We need to follow. And then Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 22 to 24, we see the voice of God. God wants to communicate to man. And God communicates through his word. And I believe that as the preacher preaches, God's voice is there. And we need to be listening. And as God has given you faithful men to preach, you need to be listening. Because God wants you to hear his voice. And then not only to hear it, but you have an obligation. And the obligation is that you obey and that you do God's word. And as we go about our lives, knowing that God is creator, controller, communicator, he is caretaker of our lives, and we've seen some of the ways that he is trying to communicate with us, trying to embrace us, trying to show us that he is in control and we can just rest in him. When last did you recognize him as Jehovah? When last did you in your life recognize him as Jehovah Jireh? When last did you recognize him as, just mentioning a few, Jehovah Nissi? When last did you say, you know what, Jehovah Shalom? When last did you even think of him being Jehovah Shammah? He's there. Just the fact that God is there. You see, we go about our lives and we forget. And I just received a little book, and you probably have known that this book is around a long time, with all the names of God. You know what it should do to you? Go back again and read and see how God has shown himself through his names. But you know what? We can know all the names of God, but it's wonderful when we trust him at his name. We can trust him at his name. You know what? This is all like a funnel. That as you place it on top of a jar or a bottle, this is all a funnel that funnels us down to that small hole, which I'd like to call holiness. God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And he wants us to remember that he is creator. He controls everything. He wants to communicate to us. He wants to care for us. He wants us to remember that he's there. His hands there. His eyes are watching us, guiding us. His arms there to protect us. And his names are there for who he is, what he has done in the past, what he's doing now, today, in your life. And these funnel us down to one purpose. And that is, God wants us to be like him, holy. And so we have now become, and as I said, unfortunately, have placed a heavy load on your shoulders. You have become a steward of God's holiness. And if you didn't know this and now you know it, what are you going to do? But we have security to know that as God wants to mold our lives to become more and more like him, that he hasn't just left us out there to struggle and to swim and to make it, you know, save ourselves or make it ourselves. He's there, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, a God who's there. And he says, I want to be in control of your life. I want you to live me. I want you to move me. I want you to, your whole being, your whole life, to be me. Isn't that a wonderful challenge for all of us? I'm not there. But I want to strive to be more like God. I want God to push me in that funnel to the point where I can come out and I can be holy as He is holy. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for giving me opportunity to come to this church, and we've heard as a family good testimony. And I trust that this church will continue to be the testimony in this community as they try and reach out. And the greatest way that they can reach out is by being the testimony they ought to be for You, and portraying holy lives to this ungodly world and this ungodly city that needs Christ. And that they will show forth Your greatness and show forth Your wonderful names of who You are, what You have done, and what You want to do. That we can see change. That we can see lives completely turned around, changed forever, as man comes to the cross and receives the gift of God of eternal life through Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that as we've heard just a few things about You, that it will stir us this coming week to change our thinking and not to forget just a few things, and it will stir us to want to study more and to find out more about You so that we can apply what You can do and will do for us in our lives. Help us to rest in You. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.